The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Yesterday was a great day across the campuses of high schools and middle schools in America, and then last night many places across America met in churches and locations, and they had a program called Saw You at the Pole. That's a playoff of See You at the Pole, and our co-host Alex McFarland was at one of those. And Alex, we want a firsthand update on what took place, brother.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Bert, it's good to be with you, and welcome to everybody to Exploring the Word. And we're going to continue in Hebrews in just a moment. But, oh, yes, 24 hours ago, I was thrilled to be in Martin, Tennessee. This is kind of north of Memphis, I think a little bit west of Jackson, Tennessee. And I know we've got folks listening there because last night, Bert, so many people came up and they said, we hear you and Bert every day on Exploring the Word. But, you know, See You at the Pole is an annual gathering of thousands of young people at public schools across America where they gather at the flagpole about 7:30 in the morning to pray. And it's been going on for 25 years. And it's really become kind of a movement, you know. But last night, a lot of churches around America had the evening event, Saw You at the Pole. And First Baptist Church of Martin, Tennessee was where I was last night. And there were a couple of dozen churches. Bert, we had nearly 600 young people, somewhere north of 550, around 600 young people. And had a band, had music, had some prayer and testimony, and then shared the gospel. And, Bert, I need to send you this photo. Maybe I did. I can't remember.
Yeah, you did. It was, man, bowing at the altar. Amen. It was, that looked like quite a few people down there, Alex. How many do you estimate were down at the altar?
Oh, 150 kids came forward, many, many, many to be saved, and then others to pray for their friends and to pray for their campus, that their campus would be a drug-free zone, or praying that their campus would not have any violence. And you know, we had a couple of dozen adults and youth pastors that we met before the event, and we gave them all some literature that they could, you know, for all the kids that came forward, walk them through the plan of salvation. And folks, think about this. All these kids came forward, I mean, way, way more than we really were prepared for, to accept Christ and to pray. And so Chuck Johnson, the great youth pastor at First Baptist Martin, said, hey, we said to the crowd, because there was, you know, 100 or more adults there too, in addition to all the teenagers, they said, look, we need more adults that can pray with teenagers. And if you know how to lead somebody to Christ, if you'll come, if you're an adult leader or a chaperone, we need you to come to the prayer room. And it really, there were prayer rooms. And Bert, walking around the hallways, there were just groups of people in prayer all through the hallways of First Baptist Martin, Tennessee. So we give God the glory for what He did last night. The Spirit of the Lord was heavy in that building. And it was just a joyful time, I'll tell you.
Amen. Well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to look ahead. The last segment, we take phone calls. I would love to hear some phone calls from people that were involved at See You at the Pole, and then some that were involved at Saw You at the Pole all over the United States. I know we had it here in Tupelo, Mississippi. I think there was close to 1,000 young people at a church here locally, and we praise the Lord for that. Wesley Wildman, who co-hosted with us, he was there, and he said it was just fantastic. So we want to hear from you. And there's one thing I would add to what you said, not just public schools, but I know a lot of private and Christian schools. They do do See You at the Pole as well, and which is not unusual because they usually have chapel and everything like that. So it's not as, quote, a big a deal, but they still do it because they're friends at the public schools. And even at the church where I pastored for many years, we had a lot of homeschooling kids. And we had a flagpole out there in our church, so we would gather with homeschoolers around the flagpole at our church. So it was a big deal and remains a big deal, and we praise the Lord for your involvement. Sounds great, Alex, and I appreciate you sharing that testimony, brother.
Well, and let me say this to the adults listening, because I know many, many adults listening have influence in the lives of young people. A number of laws, like there was the Equal Access Law that came into being in 84 during Reagan's presidency, and then in 93 under President Bill Clinton was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The bottom line, things like this, young people can take their Bible to school. Young people can talk to their friends about Jesus at school. Young people can pray at school. Young people can have Christian clubs if it's before school or after school. And if it's student-initiated and attendance is voluntary, it's amazing what young people can do on their public school campus as Amen. A witness for Christ. And see you at the poll yesterday is just one of those great opportunities.
And we hope you did, and we hope you'll call in at the end of the program. Don't do it now. No one's to answer that, but we would love to hear some testimonies about See You at the Poll and Saw You at the Poll. 888-589-8840 if you get a chance to call in. Well, let's jump into Hebrews chapter 4. We finished chapter 3 yesterday, and it still continues to talk about the rest. And let me make sure it's a rest, but it's talking about a rest that comes from salvation, a rest that comes from serving the Lord, and then our future rest that will come in glory. And the rest that you have in salvation is peace with God. And the submissive rest that you have is the peace of God that passes all understanding. And then the future rest is the presence with the Lord. So in chapter 4, you have all these covered. And Jesus Christ is truly the only one that can bring that rest, isn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Bert, I love Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to unpack a little bit about what is meant by this rest, that like you say, you know, peace with God, freedom from bondage. You know, I would say there's rest in the Christian life in as much as we're not working our way to heaven. We're not trying to earn God's favor, and we're not enslaved to a works righteousness, which couldn't bring righteousness anyway. We are bond slaves of Jesus, but isn't it ironic that the true gospel, to be free in Christ, to be forgiven in Christ, to be secure in Christ, the true rest begins once you become a bond servant of Jesus, isn't it?
It is. Isn't that amazing? It goes along with everything in the Bible so consistent when it talks about if you really want to gain your life, you lose it. You know, and the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You remember that scripture in Acts? These are the men who turned the world upside down, and they've come here also. Jesus turns just everything on its head when it comes to mankind and what man tries to do on his own. He's an amazing God. Victory comes through surrender. You know,
it seems like a paradox. Doesn't
it? It does, but it's true. And again, I find it difficult to fully explain. You was talking about presenting the plan of salvation to young people. You can do that all day long, but apart from the Spirit of God, there's no conversion. It's just words and adherence to those words, and adherence to them does not bring salvation. It's the surrender of your life to Christ. It's not agreeing upon doctrines. Then you say, oh, I agree with that doctrine. No, it is really redemption, a transaction of the soul. And well, so I know it's hard to understand if you're out there listening today, but the Holy Spirit can bring you into this relationship, and it is a relationship worth having, isn't it?
Well, it is, and oh my goodness, we could camp out so much, but you know, Hebrews 4 talks about the ones that didn't enter into the rest. Well, the rest or the Sabbath is in Jesus. And it's so beautiful because one of the shades of meaning in the word, in the original language, the Greek word that is translated rest or sometimes repose. I mean, think about this, that you're secure in Christ. There's no bondage. There's no fear. But this word, the word that's translated rest in the original language could also mean, quote, a calming of the winds.
Amen.
Now let's think about this for just a minute. You'll remember when you think of wind, Ephesians 4, we're in Hebrews 4, but Ephesians 4, 14 says that we mature up in Christ, who is the head, and we're no longer, quote, blown about by every wind of doctrine or every wind of new teaching. So the rest in Jesus, you know, theologically, there's a calming of the winds. But Bert, let me say this also. Our Lord calmed the storm. And maybe there's storms in your heart, and Jesus calms the storm that's inside of us too. And in that sense, in Christ, we have rest.
Amen. Wonderful rest. Let me read some of these passages here. We've gone through and explained. I want to read some, and I want to, if you listened yesterday, you'll remember two words that we heard over and over again. Was one was today, and the other one was warning about not harden your heart. Guess what? It continues in chapter 4. I just want to read verse 7 here. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. There it is again. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. In other words, even going into the promised land, there's a future rest. And again, we're looking at heaven. But let me read verses 10, 11. Then, Alex, I know you'll have a word to say about these. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest. There's that word again, diligence. It talks about with confidence. But it's not going to happen just lackadaisical. It's not going to happen. Somebody said, well, whatever will be, will be. No, it's diligently of following God and pursuing him as he has pursued you. And so it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest. Let me ask you this, Alex. God provides it, but man must enter in. Is that what I hear it saying?
Exactly, exactly. And you know, the Bible says, enter therein at the straight gate. Do you know, yes, the work to purchase our salvation, to forgive our sins, and to provide us righteousness, Christ did it all. You know, the old song, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But there is a sense where I believe we need to be proactive about our relationship with Jesus. You know, Pat Robertson, I went to hear him speak when I was a young Christian. And, you know, I know he's got his you know, people that watch his show and hear him. I don't know what you think about Pat Robertson, but I heard some real good wisdom. So it was back about 1985, 86, and he came to North Carolina, and I went to hear him. And during the Q&A, somebody said, why are some people closer to God than others? And he said, well, because some people are willing to invest in their relationship with Jesus. Now, we're all saved by putting our faith in Christ. Folks, think about this. Salvation is the same for everybody. You got to turn to Jesus. But Christian growth is different for everybody. And I think he was right. Like Hebrews 4 says, be diligent to enter into that rest. Some people, I think, appear closer to God, not that he loves or shows partiality. God is not a respecter of persons. But there's some people, as a Christian, they're willing to invest and go deep, aren't they?
They are. And we hope you're one of those, that you've been saved and you're diligently entering in to Christ. We don't want you to go away. We want you to come back. Chapter 4, verse 12 is one of the greatest verses.
Oh,
where it's
yes.
Able to separate soul and spirit. Only the Word of God can do that. So you'll want to stick around as we come back and invest our time in studying the Word of God here on the American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay, to go to Israel. They want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
We don't like to wait. We're the giddy-up generation. We frown at the person who takes 11 items to the 10-item express checkout. We drum our fingers while the microwave heats our coffee. Come on, come on, come on. We don't like to wait. This is Max Lucado. But look around you. Do you realize where we sit? This planet is God's waiting room. The young couple waiting to get pregnant. The guy with the briefcase waiting for work. Waiting on God to give, to help. Waiting on God to come. The land of waiting. And you? Are you in God's waiting room? You may be infertile or inactive, in limbo, in between jobs, or in search of a house, spouse, health, or help. Here's what you need to know. While you wait, God works. God never twiddles his thumbs. He never stops. Just because you're idle, don't assume God is. Trust him. In the right time, you'll get through this. This is Max Lucado.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk, studying the Bible and taking your questions.
Speak to me, I've opened up your word to free me. I want to hear you now.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Let me remind you, we would love to hear your story about AFR and its effect in your life and what it has done, and especially Exploring the Word. Alex and I are kind of partial to this program, although we like Vocal Point by Brian Fisher. But anyway, we love these program, and if it's helped you in your growth and in being a citizen, a better informed citizen, we would love to hear about that. And you can call a number, 877-876-8893. And let us hear from you. We want this for Share-a-thon, which is in October, 18th through the 20th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. All excitement around here. But that number again, write it down, pray about it, and think it through. You might want to write it out and then, you know, practice it and call in. That way you'd have it right down. It's 877-876-8893. We would love to hear your story about how AFR has blessed you.
Hey, Bert.
Go ahead.
Last night in Martin, Tennessee, I met a Brian Fisher.
Another Brian Fisher?
Well, a guy who's a listener to the network, and he listens to our show, and he was just really bragging on the programming of American Family Radio Talk. And I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Brian Fisher." I said, "Well, hey, we have a Brian Fisher." He said, "Yes, I know." But I want to give a big shout out to the Brian Fisher in Martin, Tennessee.
Well, listen, Brian Fisher hadn't left the studio. Brian, get that microphone. Brent, turn. Now, I've got some questions to ask. Is the Brian Fisher up there? Is he white-headed?
No, he's a bit younger than our Brian Fisher, but equally godly and a listener. And you know what? Also, there's a listener there, Joel, who is probably at work. And Joel, thank you for being a fan of Exploring the Word. We appreciate that. But yes, we have a lot of people in Martin, Tennessee who listen to our Brian Fisher and listen to Bert and myself.
Brian, give a shout out.
Hey, Alex, that Brian Fisher there in Martin, does he spell his name with an I or a Y?
You know, I didn't ask. I should have asked.
Yeah. Well, that'd be something that, you know, that's pretty critical, is you really want to spell it with a Y.
Well, you know what I think about? When I think of B-R-I-A-N.
But sometimes you can't have everything.
You know, it's no secret. I've got a great, great respect for you, Brother Brian. And I think of you rearrange those letters, you get brain. So,
yeah. Well, you know,
Brian the Brain.
And I spell my last name. I don't know how Brian in Martin spells his name, but my last name is spelled with a C in the middle. It's German heritage, F-I-S-C-H-E-R. My first name, I spell Brian with a Y. So I have to spell both my first and last name every time I'm checking in somewhere. So
oh, wow.
I hope Brian's life is a lot simpler. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. He was still in here. We're in the same studio, and I'm telling you what, it is when you hear the title American Family Association, American Family Radio, our president, Tim Wildman, he does set that pattern as us being family and supporting one another. So anyway, thank you for that. And again, we want you to call in 888-589-8840. We want to hear about See You at the Poll and Saw You at the Poll. If you've got a testimony or a little word of how many people showed up at your high school, sometimes we need to do that testimony. That's what they do in Bible classes. They'll take prayer requests and I'll take Bible questions, but sometimes they just says, let's have some praise the Lord's. So we want to hear some of those. Well, Alex, let's go in and look, if you would. And again, I want to spend sufficient time on verse 12 of Hebrews 4. I really do, because I do think it's one of the more important verses in all the Bible when it comes to understanding how important the Word of God is. So let me read it.
Sure.
For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, again, there's so much here, but the Word of God, let me just use these three words, living, powerful, sharper. Let's talk about those. That's only the Word of God that has those three descriptive terms used about it. My testimony is strong, but it's not like the Word of God. A sermon can be strong, but if it doesn't contain the Word of God, it will be limp and lame, won't it?
Oh, that's true. That's true. And you know what? I was thinking about Hebrews when we embarked on this study, and I thought about Hebrews chapter 4 as one of the verses that it's a key, because, you know, Hebrews is all about Jesus, why Jesus is better. Jesus is the one and only Savior, and He's called the living Word. Well, Scripture is the written Word. And so oftentimes we equate the Bible, God's written word, with the great theme of the Bible, which is the Savior and how you can know Him. Folks, if you want to know the summary statement of the Bible, God's great love letter to the human race, it's this: the Savior and how you may know Him, the kingdom of God and how to get in. And Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 is just a great to reiterate, the Word of God is alive and active. I mean, there are many books that are inspiring. There's one book that's inspired.
Only
sharper
one.
Than any double-edged sword, it penetrates. And I want to talk about soul and spirit, joints and marrow, because think about this, and I am a trichotomist. I do believe there's body, soul, and spirit. Now, some people are, this is a little deep here, but a dichotomist, they'll say, well, there's the physical and the non-physical. There's the body and the soul. That's true. But like 1 Thessalonians 5:23, do you remember it says, may the God of peace sanctify you through and through, your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless.
That is the only place where that phrase is used, but it is a tremendous lesson to teach us this. And then when you add this to it, Alex, it does show you that soul and spirit. Now, let me ask you this. Don't let me get you off track, but I wanted to interject this because I want you to answer this. Without the Word of God, the soul and spirit probably cannot be discerned in difference. They're probably going to, and that's the reason they say it's a dichotomy rather than, you know, because it's the Word of God that demonstrates that, isn't it?
Well, it is. And the word that is translated there in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I'm going to bring this back to Hebrews 4, but spirit, soul, and body. We often think of, you know, your soul will last eternally, and it will. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, the word translated soul is the word psyche, from which we get psychology, P-S-Y-C-H-E. Spirit, though, is pneuma. And then body is really soma. Sometimes sarx is translated as flesh. But in the 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I'm going to bring this back to Hebrews 4, but you've got pneuma, psyche, and soma, which is your spirit, your soul, and your body. Now think about this, folks. Your spirit is the part of you that will last everlastingly somewhere. Everlasting. I don't really say eternal because only God is eternal, but you will everlastingly, your spirit, your pneuma. Remember, God breathed into Adam and man became a living soul, spirit. Now, your psyche is your mind, your memories, your emotions, your will. And see, all of these are just really inextricably wedded together. Pneuma, psyche, and soma, body, soul, and spirit. Now, how I see it in the Hebrews 4, where it says that the Word of God is active and powerful, living, dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. I do think in the Hebrews 4, 12, and 13, there's an allusion to the really three-part nature of man.
Joints and marrow being the body.
Exactly.
I think it has double. I agree with you, but it also, and I say, I shouldn't say, and also it shows you how the joints and marrow of the, you know, without those ligaments, without those joints, they don't operate, okay?
Yeah.
If you just had the joints by themselves without the marrow, without the ligaments, or the ligaments without the bones, they would not be able to operate. So with that in mind, I agree with you about the body. But also take that back to the soul and spirit. Our soul without the spirit operating in it, it's not fulfilled. You catch my thoughts on that, Alex?
Well, and you know, let me just say this. That clearly the salvation message is about you going to heaven when you die. But I do think, you know, and I don't want to over-spiritualize this, but to honor the Lord and His Word, you know, John 10:10, it says you'll have life and life abundantly. Proverbs 3, 7, and 8, that says, fear the Lord, turn away from evil, and it will be health to your body. It will be a healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones, says the old King James. Honor the Lord with your first fruits, and it will be health. And Proverbs 3, 8 through 10 really says health and wealth to
That's
you.
Right. It does.
And so, friend, the point is this. When you honor the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive, the Bible is not just a 2,000-year-old book covered in dust. I mean, this is the Word of God. Coming from the heart and mind of God, and it is alive. The convicting power of the Word is so amazing. If you think about, okay, let me bring up two names, Martin Luther from the Reformation, 1517, and Billy Graham. Both of those men that God worked through to change the world, quite literally, both of them changed the world. And both, in their own lifetimes, were asked, how did you have such an amazing influence? Both Martin Luther and both Billy Graham said it was simply the Word of God.
Amen.
I think about J. Vernon McGee, who talks about you let the Word of God loose, much like you open a cage and let a lion loose.
That is the Word of God, and it is that powerful.
I
want to move to the latter part of verse 12 when it says a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now,
right.
I believe God, through His Holy Spirit, can give a spirit of discernment for people. I believe that there are some people, because of their experiences, especially as a child in their childhood, they develop a sense of discernment. I believe in both of those, that is, which is natural, but also something that is supernatural by the Spirit of God. But the whole thought is the Word of God is the secret to that discernment. I found out in my life, and I know I don't have discernment because of the experiences in my life. I don't necessarily have a discerning spirit all the time, but I have found out given adequate time in the Word of God helps me to discern many things, situations, people, outcomes. So I am sharing with you, the Word of God is not just profitable concerning our salvation that you've brought out, but it is also profitable for living in relationships and circumstances, Alex.
Well, yeah. You know, we read the Bible, but in a very real sense, the Bible reads us, doesn't it?
It does. It takes us apart.
Well, you know, I was in Asheville, North Carolina, and there's a lot of Christian work up in Asheville in the western part of the state, but there's also a lot of occult activity. And I was talking to a college student from Western Carolina who had become a Christian. And I said, well, what made you come to Christ? And, you know, I love apologetics and you know, the logic and the reasons that we defend the faith, and that's good. But there is something just inherently powerful about this living Word of God. This college student said to me, he said, well, I was reading the Gospel of John. And he said, you know, it just had the ring of truth about it.
Amen.
There is something about the Word of God that the Spirit of the Lord uses because it just rings true. It really does. Now, Romans chapter 2 talks about the day that God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. See, the Word of God is very convicting, Bert, isn't it?
It is.
When people begin to read and they realize, hey, look, there is a God before whom we'll give an account. There is there's the truth of God, and then there's the untruth that we often harbor in our hearts. And the Spirit of God, when it says in Hebrews 4 that it discerns the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Yes.
Like I said, you know, we read the Bible, but the Bible reads us.
Well, that brings us to 13 now. Let me read that because time's running out of this segment, and I want to make sure we get 12 connected with 13. It's talking about the Word of God and how it can separate, how it can discern. And then it says, and there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account.
That's
again,
right.
What a verse. Nothing is hidden from him. But again, just hadn't got a lot of time left here, but no creature, nothing, no one. Reminds me of Jonah trying to find it. The psalmist, he says, if I go out into the deepest sea, you're there. To the lowest depths, you're there. There's nothing hidden. All things are naked and open. Adam and Eve could not hide behind the fig leaf. And then it says, to whom we must give an account. Alex, it sounds like we're accountable for concerning our salvation. We're accountable for our life if we receive salvation. Accountability is a big part of the Christian life when we stand before Him one day. The Bible even says each and every word, idle word, will come into judgment or give an account. So only through the Word of God are we able going to even to have a decent testimony as we stand before God and give an account. It's really going to be based upon our faith in Him and then the Word of God, like you said, reading us and us changing our life and standing before Him. These are powerful thoughts, aren't they?
Well, they are. Hebrews 4:13 concludes, and then it transitions to verse 14 about Jesus, who is our Savior, our High Priest. But let me focus in on Hebrews 4:13 a bit. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Friend, you will have no hope of standing before God unless you stand in the forgiveness and righteousness of Jesus. The word open there, some translations will say open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. It means subject to, subjugated by, overthrown by. All that's in us is subject to Jesus. And
amen.
I hope you've yielded your life to
Yield
Him.
Yield your life to Him. 888-589-8840. We want to hear some testimonies about see you at the pole and saw you at the pole. Make the phone call right now.
I was in a really bad relationship, and my parents always told me that it wasn't good for me. And I ended up getting pregnant, and I hid the pregnancy for 4 months because my plan was to get an abortion. but through listening to AFR and how you always talk about the sanctity of life. On May 17th last year, I told my mom that I was pregnant, and after that, telling the truth, freedom came, and I realized that I didn't want to kill myself or my baby because it was a gift from God. And right now, yesterday, my baby turned 6 months old, and he's a strong and healthy baby, and he's the biggest blessing that I could ever have. I'm just so thankful that I kept my baby, and he gave me new life.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 18th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Wall Builders Live with David Barton.
Things that had been there for hundreds of years, riots in the Magna Carta, they went sour under King George III. So they saw how fast it could turn around. They said, you know, our own experience tells us we better put some fences around this government. And, you know, let's not make fences, let's make walls. And let's make really big walls, things that the federal government cannot get through. And so that was their intent and design with what happened with the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights.
Wall Builders Live with David Barton, Saturday afternoon at 2 Central on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, the latest on the Hoboken train crash. We'll learn about the Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty. You'll hear Senator Cruz getting a DHS official to admit to a major flaw in the refugee screening process. Plus, President Obama explains why he doesn't say Islamic terrorism, and Pastor Free responds. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. 888-589-8840. If you have a testimony, especially, we may not have anybody that's listening that has done that, but if you have, we'd love to hear from you because Alex's testimony was just a blessing. But we've got some people that's got some questions and comments, so we want to go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Texas and talk to Michael. Michael, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Howdy, y'all. I'm glad I finally got to be one of the first ones.
Well, great, man.
I'm in a college course that is dealing with a lot of what you guys talked about today, the word being a sharp double-edged sword. And the problem I've run into is this is a secular college course at Sam Houston State University. We just finished going over the Nag Hammadi Corpus, and I got a little bit discouraged because I'm one of the only Christians in that classroom that believes the word of God is faithful and true. And I got discouraged the other day, and I was reading my Bible. I was reading Isaiah, and I told God, I'm confused. What do I believe? Because these are original documents from the second century, from the first century. What am I supposed to believe? I mean, are these true along with your word? And because they contradicted his word, the Nag Hammadi scrolls. So within a couple hours, I was reading Isaiah, and then it just hit me like a freight train. Isaiah is one of the answers to my question. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 chapters.
Mm.
The first half of Isaiah is about the destruction of the world, is about God's judgment. And the second half of Isaiah is about God's redemption through the coming Messiah. And the New Testament is the exact same way. Isaiah is a mini Bible, and it was written, you know, 700 years before Christ came to this earth. And I, at that point, I just said, thank you, Lord. And I have no more doubts, you know, and I discovered it through God's living word. It's amazing. And you know, God really helped me through that. But his word is faithful, is true, and it is a sharp double-edged sword. And it'll you know, he'll reveal things to you through it when you need it the most.
Amen, Michael. Thank you for that testimony. Alex, I have found out everybody, and Michael has had, you're going to have at least one crisis of faith after you become a believer. I've never talked to somebody who did not go through a crisis of faith. I remember me struggling. Okay, is the Word of God true? One Billy Graham out in California after a certain period, he went out and nailed it down. You know, the Bible, if you will read it and let the Holy Spirit guide you, you will come to that decision that the Word of God is true, won't you?
You will. And God bless you for listening to the show, and God bless you for standing for the faith, even through some of the tough skepticism of college. Let me say this, though. The Bible was completed, the Old Testament was completed about 400 years before the birth of Christ. So the content of the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, is not really in question. The New Testament, though, Matthew through Revelation, was completed by 95-96 AD. Most of the New Testament was written from about 40 to 75 or 80 AD. But the what are often called the Gnostic Gospels, G-N-O-S-I-S, Gnosis, they come 200 to 300 years after the life of Christ, after the New Testament was completed, like you said, from the second and third centuries. And you know, the interesting thing, and I've written about this in several of my books. In fact, I go in depth, two books, one, 10 Answers for Skeptics, published by Baker, another, 10 Answers for Atheists. But here's the thing, not only do none of the apostles or the people that knew the apostles were with Jesus, and then there were those that came after Jesus that maybe they didn't know Jesus, but they knew the people who did know Jesus. Not only did they never quote any of the Nag Hammadi writings or the Gnostic Gospels as scripture, they even warn against not being deceived by some of these extra-biblical writings. And they come 100 to 200 years after the life of Christ. And so oftentimes in world religion classes and things like that, they'll say, well, you know, there were lots of religious writings that were from the time of the early church. And that's true. The Roman Empire was full of religions, but the New Testament that is the true Word of God, it was given by the Lord, and the early church recognized what was and was not Scripture. So you can trust your Bible.
Amen. I'm always amazed around Easter and Christmas. The Discovery Channel or some A&E or something, they'll say the historical Jesus, like it's someone different than the Jesus of the Bible. They're the ones that's off. And I just want you to have assurance of the Word of God. It is sure, it is powerful, quick and powerful, and it has stood the test of time, and it continues to do so. And when you read it, it does it, but also when you research the history of it, just like Alex gave, you'll see you have all that you need for life and godliness in this world through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He's given it to us. Thank you, Michael, and keep in there, brother. Keep shining the light of Jesus, even in a dark classroom. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to John. John, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just one. I've been listening to the show, and let me tell you, fellas, it's my most favorite show to listen to.
Well, y'all, amen.
Great job.
Thank you, John.
I'm a high school principal here in Mississippi, and about 3 years ago, the Freedom from Religion group managed to stifle our prayer and devotion that we did every morning. But God works wonders, because at that same year, our seat at the poll grew much larger than it ever had been before. And each successive year, it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And yesterday, we had our largest crowd ever. And what was amazing is that it was just more than students, that we were getting people from all over the community who had heard about it and had supported us in our argument against the Freedom for Religion group. And they've been coming out every year and increasing in numbers, show their support for See at the Poem, for prayer and prayer in the schools, and just to support us all in general. And I just think it's a great thing.
John, thank you for listening. And I just want to share this, and I know Alex, so make sure you stay online. Alex may have a question or whatever, but I want to tell you, in the public schools, I have found administrators and teachers, godly men and women, who are making a difference. And, brother, I just want to commend you, and I want to take time to pray for you, if you don't mind, John, and then I'm going to let Alex say a word, but I'm going to take that prerogative here. Father, I thank you for John. It's made my day to hear him as he is standing strong for you. And Father, he's standing on solid ground, not only on the Bible, but according to our laws of our land. And the new laws have mistreated them. They've left logic. They've left natural law behind. And so, Father, I pray that sanity will be restored to the courts, and Father, to education in the higher levels. And I thank you for John being able to share that with us, and it's encouraged us today. May that community keep it up. They sure would be a challenge for others, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. John, stay there. Alex, I know you want to say a word.
Well, God bless you, sir. We are so proud of you. And I know even within the public schools, there are a lot of Christians that courageously are salt and light on the public school campuses. Let me say a word about something that is a little sad this week, that if you don't believe we're in a spiritual battle, this will prove that we really are. In Portland, Oregon, there is now in an elementary school, an after-school satanic club. But now listen to this. For decades, Child Evangelism Fellowship, which is a great ministry, Reese Kaufman, the president, is a person that we know. The Child Evangelism Fellowship has had their Good News Clubs. And Bert, this is important to me because my wife, Angie, came to Christ through a Good News Club in 1973 or 4. And they do a great work, and it's legal, and CEF and their Good News Clubs are a wonderful ministry of 6 or 7 decades. Well, the after-school Satan clubs, because they know the law, if a school allows students to have a Christian club legally, there's no reason they can't really have other types of clubs. But the after-school Satan clubs, which is just demonic, they have pledged publicly to go everywhere the Good News Clubs go. Now, we need to pray, because clearly Satan is just, it's like a parasite on a host. It's not that they have a message, they don't have a message, but they're trying to go everywhere to just stand in opposition to the Good News Clubs of Child Evangelism Fellowship.
Amen. John, again, thank you for standing. And let me add this to what you're just saying. For everything that God has, Satan has no original ideas. He has to have a counterfeit.
That's right.
And that's the exact what I've been talking about, the counterfeit, because he has no hope, no original. John, again, thank you for standing, and thank you for the testimony, brother.
Okay, thank you guys for the great work you do.
Amen.
God bless you.
Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Bob. Bob, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. It's nice to be on your show and talk to you all again. I did some driving yesterday and last night, and I was just amazed at all the cars that there were at these churches, you know, and I didn't really know what was going on until I heard the first part of the show, and there was one church in Springfield, Missouri. I could not believe it. It looked like an ocean of cars on either side of it. It was James River Church there in Springfield, Missouri. It was just like I couldn't believe all the cars. Just an ocean on each side. But so that's encouraging, you know, to see all those cars at churches like that. Now I know what was going on there. But I just want to say, and I've mentioned this before on your show, that You know, I was born again in 1979, and I think around that time there was a movement of God, because I hear so much that somebody was born again in 1978 or 1979, and it was such an emotional experience. I mean, just so emotional. But, you know, I've learned since then that you just can't live off that emotion. You've got to get that word in you.
Amen.
You know, and you know what? If I have a fault, we all have a lot of faults, but my main thing was, I used to call God the great silent one, and you know what? He didn't strike me down dead for it, which is kind of amazing because I said it a lot. But you know, and I think you guys probably know what I'm talking about here, he talks more than anybody I know now. He has proven me so wrong on that. It's just amazing how he talks.
God
and
speaks.
Every day to me. So, but I've never really, truly, I think it was because of that emotional, so it was so emotional, and I never doubted that he exists. I used to doubt my salvation. But, brothers, let me tell you something. You know what's comfortable and so, I just praise the Lord. I don't doubt my salvation for a second because I know the Word of God, and I know it. I know it well. I know the promises, and you know, Hosea the prophet said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." But knowledge is power, and I know what that Word of God says, and I know this. He said, "I'm the way. I'm the door. I'm the truth." It's not, well, I go to church on Saturday, so I'm going, or I get baptized, or I'm good enough, or I go to this church or that church, or you know, I speak in tongues. No, Jesus said, "I'm the door."
Amen.
I'm the way. You go to heaven through me.
Amen, Bob. I thank you for that. Let me ask you a question. How many churches, do you remember how many churches you saw where the cars were just flooding the parking lot?
Oh, wow. Just, when I got to Springfield, I would say, probably 30 or 40.
Amen.
Minimum.
That's what we were saying, Alex. It's not just in Martin, Tennessee, and Tupelo, Mississippi. Now we hear they were all right. Now, let me give you the part of this about the neat part of see you at the pole and then saw you at the pole. See you at the pole is people from different churches gathering at the same school. And then saw you at the pole is these students from all the schools meeting at the same church. And it brings them together. And here's one thing it does. Not only the evangelism, Alex, that you were able to share and discipleship and growth that you were able to challenge, but also it lets them know, hey, I'm not the only one. That's good news, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, young people need to be reached with the gospel because, folks, you know, God can save at any age, obviously. But statistics show that as people get older, you know, the likelihood that somebody will turn to Christ, it really does diminish. You know, Ecclesiastes 12 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the trouble comes and the years approach, and you say no to God." And so I just want to challenge people listening, do all that you can within your church. Do your utmost to evangelize young people, because when people are, you know, 20-something or younger, the likelihood is higher that their heart would be tender to the gospel. And I praise God that thousands of churches and people across the country yesterday, they were doing this big outreach to young people. And hey, plan now for next year, folks.
Amen. Well, what we studied today backs up what you say. Today, do not harden your heart. Once you harden your heart one time and you do it again, it grows harder, and you just don't want to go there. If you feel the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, today is the day. You don't need to put it off. And if you need help, there's a number that you can call. It's 888-NEED-HIM. 888-NEED-HIM. There's people there that will help you, that will guide you, and share the truth of the gospel with you. Alex, it's been good to be on today. It's good to hear those testimonies, especially about those cars in church lots all over Missouri and Arkansas, it sounded like, didn't it?
Praise God, it is. Folks, you know what? This living Word of God, it's alive because it's all about a living Savior who is alive forevermore.
Again, thank you for listening. Tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, it's Friday. And on Friday, Fire Away Friday. So some of you that called in and we didn't get to your questions because we were putting a premium on the testimonies, call back tomorrow and we'll get to your call. In the meantime, just keep on sharing about exploring the Word, but more importantly, share about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.